Okay, good afternoon, folks. It's 3 p.m. on Tuesday, May 17th, 2022, and we'll call the meeting into session. First item is roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem.
Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, is present.
Okay, thank you. Michael Blomquist, Place 2.
Michael Blomquist, Councilman, Place 2, is present.
Okay, thank you. Tony Cantarino, Place 3.
Tony Cantarino, Place 3, present.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4.
Linda Nash, Place 4, present.
Okay, thank you. Sam Halaby, Place 5.
Sam Halaby, Place 5, is present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you. And we do have a quorum. Next item is paragraph 2, presentations by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code, Section 551.042, prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information, or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Is there anyone that wishes to address the council at this time? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to paragraph 3. Discussion items. Number 1, receive and discuss a presentation on the council's budget priorities, city manager.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'm going to punt it over to Jerry here, and he'll kind of get us led off on this. But, Council, we're sort of in that process right now. We are in that process with our budget. We are fixing to branch off with our department heads into their line items. We've done a number of items on the budget already, but we're getting to that stage in the budget. We'd love to hear more about. We have, of course, your priorities from last year, but love to hear more. Anything that you would like for us to drill down on and focus on. And I will say this will be kind of a brainstorming session with you today. If there's a need or you would like to discuss it more in the future, there's no problem at all. We'll add it in future workshops and continue our discussion. So this will just kind of get us kicked off today. And with that, Mayor, I'll kick it over to Jerry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, David. Mayor and Council, each year, the Harker Heights City Council, with recommendations from your staff, developed a budget for the upcoming fiscal year. As you know, a budget serves as a plan for the city on how resources will be raised and allocated to provide quality service to our residents. It's a commitment made by the City Council on how money collected will be spent in the upcoming year. The budget provides accountability to Harker Heights residents on how the City of Harker Heights spends its funds. It also provides Council with the opportunity to express funding priorities and establish Council goals. As you may know, your staff has begun the process of developing the FY 2022-23 budget. The revenues received from property tax, sales tax, among other fees, helps fund road improvements, park and library services, emergency services, water sewer services, animal services, and code enforcement issues, and much more. Each year, your staff, led by the Finance Department, is tasked with presenting a balanced budget for Council's consideration. The City Council has a practice of setting priorities which help guide city staff in developing the budget process. The alignment of priority setting and budget development allows for the allocation of funding and resources to support those priorities set by you, the Council. Together through this process, we can accomplish a great deal, all while working toward making Harker Heights a great place to call home. And with that, Council, we have in front of you a checklist or a list of items that you can write down as we go through this process. This is for your priorities, and once you're complete with the workshop this afternoon, if you would hand those to us, so that makes sure we don't forget one of the priorities when we start developing the list for you. So with that, Mayor, I will kind of hand it back over to you if we want to go one by one or if we want to start talking about priorities for the Council.
I think we'd like to do a round table and do it by place and have the individuals, and then as we break into discussion, we can have other items come up. So, Mayor Pro Tem McCann.
Great to be first. I'll be brief because I feel like we can dive into this in depth at another time. But something that I brought up very briefly last year when we went through troubles with COVID, was trying to create, whether it be programming, funding, something for small business relief. We're not always going to have funding, and things come up from, you know, COVID-type situations. So it would be nice to be prepared to help our local businesses, whether it be for survival, expansions. These are EDC-related things with the business, so I would like to dive into economic development a little more because it usually falls under that hat. But either way, I think it would be great if we had a way to help our local businesses survive and offer some type of funding for them.
I just want to tag on to what she just said. So with a small business relief, you know, if you talk funding, so it's basically coming up with a plan so that the city has a like an emergency plan in the event something happens like that that would impact a large group of businesses across our community. Is that what you're asking?
Part of it.
Okay.
I think that once we explore how we fit into the economic development world, there's other types of funding that you can offer to small businesses to help them survive or to help them come to town is a different story. I mean the existing ones. So whether it be for a disaster or just I've been in business for 15 years and the economy's changing and here's my business plan and here's some things that, you know, see what the city has available to help those businesses.
Okay, because you mentioned EDC and we do have an EDC on paper, but
I know.
We are not funded.
I know. That's so, part of what so I'd that, like to dive into
okay.
more.
All right.
Thank
you, Mayor. This is Michael Bompas, Councilman Place 2. This is going into my fifth cycle here for budget planning for priorities for a workshop here. And you know, I think, you know, one of the things I've always talked about, you know, some of you have heard this before, some of you have not, but, you know, everything has a cost here in the city of what we do stuff. So if we ask to plus up somewhere, we have to take away somewhere else typically. So it's a zero-sum game, and it's a great thing to be able to do a lot of great things, but we got to understand that everything has a cost to do something like that. And in saying that, you know, I think I've always asked at every one of these that how can we do something that where we can possibly look at lowering the taxes if we can at all possible do it. I know in today's time we're kind of unique this year, especially because the environment economically is not too conducive to doing such a thing with inflation the way it is, because that impacts everybody, businesses, gas, construction, road repair, you know, all of that is taking a hit, and it's costing us more money to mow the grass in our parks, to hire folks and bring them on board. So, you know, but we want to try to look at that, you know, again, lower where we can and see if we can, you know, do with what we can. Make it more efficient. I know the city's done an awesome job in the past in becoming more lean and being able to function despite our setbacks from the DV unfunded mandate, where we're losing, last year was $2.8 million. I think this year it's over $3 million, if I remember. Is that correct, David? On the, so
3.1.
So, you know, that's a huge delta there. That lost money is monies that we, it's not monies that we're passing on taxes to everybody else. That's just money that we don't have to be able to spend in our city for infrastructure improvement. So that's something that, you know, we need to continue to look at providing for needed infrastructure improvements. You know, we had a big major winter storm last year. We still haven't completed all those constructions. They're ongoing throughout the city, but there's every year we have maintenance that needs to be done, new roads that need to be improved, new sewer lines or drainage areas need to be improved. So that infrastructure needs to continue across the city. So those are some things that we need to focus on. We've talked in the past about fire station number 3. We're getting very, very close to, you know, with the growth of the population growing at, based on the last census data, at 19, almost 20%. We're going to need it, especially with our focus on the development going down 2410. That fire station number 3 has become very, very important to providing the safety and security for our citizens as we grow into the future. So that's something we need to look at, you know, is it next year we need to do it or the year after? But we need to have a plan on when we're going to look at pulling the trigger on constructing fire station number 3. But understanding that, knowing, you know, we think we did this study last year, it's going to cost us $1 million just to maintain that fire station. So that's an expensive budget ticket right there. You know, when we're looking at every cent on the tax rate, I believe it was $200,000, somewhere around there. So, you know, it looks like, you know, when we're now at $3.1 million in a delta, you know, that would, if the state corrected this while working with our congressman coming on board, hopefully Hugh Shine is going to be able to get that addressed where we get this unfunded mandate and help us make us whole, is what his term he used the other day when we met with him, is to try to make, you know, the impacted communities whole from this unfunded mandate that the state passed. Our police department, you know, we've had some transitions here, but we need to be able to grow with the population as well. So I know Chief's working hard at bringing on new folks as people either retire or, sadly, we're losing some to, you know, people looking for better opportunities. So we need to look at our pay scales, and not just with the police, but across the city. We need to be competitive in today's age because we can't grow skill sets overnight. And I'm sure Ms. Clay can, you know, talk to this in much detail, but, you know, we want to be able to retain the highly skilled workers that we have here in our city. So we need to be competitive with our pay scales in order to keep our good folks here. We do take care of our workforce. You know, David and Jerry and the staff do an awesome job of keeping folks, but we also need to make sure we can pay them on a scale so that they don't want to just obviously jump at the first opportunity that's more money, because in that, I don't blame people for wanting to go get more money, because, you know, in today's age, people need money to survive for their own families. So, but we need to be able to be competitive to bring on quality police officers. I know Chief does a really good job of bringing on very, very vetted individuals to make sure that we have the highest quality officers, and so we need to make sure we pay them appropriately to retain them. And then finally, and this kind of goes with the EDC thing, smart growth. It's something I've always talked about when I ran on campaigning. This last year, you know, we talked a lot about it, but we couldn't reveal what we had ongoing, but, you know, we've had some major announcements, some major construction projects throughout the city. These are great projects that are going to, you know, help sustain us into the future with those type of constructions of medical, entertainment venues, restaurants. We want to try to continue to attract things to our city, and maybe an EDC is a proper venue to look at this, to bring these type of targeted businesses to our community, because we want to make Harker Heights a target, a destination for people to come and, you know, enjoy our city, spend their money. I know we talked about Dana Peak Park there with that, trying to hopefully get that on board. But, you know, it's kind of been slow rolled right now, but with trying to work through some of the negotiations on the verbiage for the contractual agreement with the Corps of Engineers. But we want to make Harker Heights a destination city. You know, we talked about that being a lake city, or just bringing in more attractable businesses that keep us on the map and bring people from Killeen, from Temple, from Waco. You know, we want to attract people here in Heights, and I think that will help us grow into the future. So those are just a few things. You know, again, when we come back, it'll have more time to polish out some of these things, but I think that's a good starting point for us looking at our budget priorities for the next cycle. Thank you.
Tony Canarino, place three. A couple things I would like to look at. I only got three major ones that I would like to take a look at. And one of them is I'm a businessman, Sam is a businessman, Jennifer's a businesswoman, and we're used to doing more with less. So I would like to take some time with Aisha and just really drill down on our current budget and see if we can't find any money that's out there laying on the table. I think if we can cut some corners on some things and maybe save us some money. One of the things that I wanted to look at very strongly was, about a month ago, I sat in on a city council meeting about the impact fees. I could not understand how come taxpayers are paying so much money to subsidize the most lucrative business in the state of Texas. I have a hard time with that. And the easiest way I can put it is that if we build 200 homes, if there's 200 homes built in Harker Heights, we pay $1.5 million in impact fees to corporations that don't need that money. That's taxpayers are paying for that. And I don't think they're delivering that much in return, to be honest with you. So I think that's something we should look at. Another thing that I'm really, really concerned with is the staffing of our police and fire department. Right now we're short, I think, 11 police officers. The number probably changes a little bit. So I've been looking around the state, and I was talking to Ms. Clay about it, and a couple other people, Jerry and David. I would like to explore maybe doing a triple cert program, which is where firemen and policemen are also trained to be firemen and policemen. Like a fireman can also be a LEO, law enforcement officer. Because when you go to a citizen's home, they get the best of all worlds. They get a fireman, a policeman, and a medic, all wrapped up in one. Right now, since we're short on police officers, we would have been able to pull some of the fire department, who are LEOs, in and fill those gaps. And one of the good things about that is those people in the fire department have already been vetted by our city. We don't have to do major background checks that I know of. Also, they, since they're vetted, they can take over and at any given time work with the police department. And then when we have a big brush fire, let's say out by Dana Peak or something like that, we can also pull firemen in or policemen in to help the firemen because they're well skilled in that. So I've seen this is working in two municipalities in the state of Texas right now, and it's working well. One is Highland Park and the other is Lakeway. And I think we should just explore that, because keep in mind that when you have one person that can do three things, you eliminate an extra set of medical benefits and stuff like that. All the things that go with that, sick time, vacation time, you have one special person that you pay more and you train them to be more, and then chances are they're not going to be leaving Harker Heights. One of the good things that I learned about that program is my son-in-law is involved in it up in Highland Park, and he says, I don't have burnout. I'm a fireman and a policeman, 1 week on, 1 week off, whatever, a couple shifts. And they're able to, they don't suffer burnout, but they are also allowed to advance either on the police or fire side or both. And it's just great education for them. And the best thing about it is if he pulls up to an accident scene and he sees somebody staggering around, he can administer a breathalyzer right there as a LEO. If he's a police officer one evening and he rolls up onto a burning house, he knows what to call in. So I think it's just a nice mix, it'll make better first responders, cut our payroll, and just give the citizens a really good mix of first responders to come help them should they need it. So I just wanted to look at those couple of things. That's it. You sure?
So in that particular program, everybody's not an LEO. Everyone isn't. It's just some.
In where my son-in-law is, it's been around for a while, so they all are. Okay, that's how they come in. When he just signed on with them about a year ago. He came from Lancaster. He was a Lancaster fireman paramedic for, 7 years. Then he went into this slot, and they sent him to the police academy. So he works 2 days on, and I think 2 days on, 5 days off. They do a 90, that's their shift. And when they're there, they're there for 48 hours solid, okay? But then he's also a farmer, so he's got the other 5 days off. So it helps with burnout and stress and stuff like that. But yeah, he's both. And everybody on that force, on both forces are, now the hierarchy still stays the same. You still have a separate fireman hierarchy and a separate police hierarchy. But the people that are the law enforcement officers out on the street all the time, they're both. They're certified both.
Interesting.
It's a really cool program.
Good. Linda. Alrighty, so I have economic development as well. I definitely agree with what Jen said about, when we had COVID. COVID and trying to get some relief for the small businesses. I believe that that's important. But I also think that concentrating a little bit more on the north side, I know we have plans that are happening, but really putting forth more effort for our economic growth on the north side of our city. I'm a little partial because of the Arts Commission, but I think that's something we need to, that we should put funds aside for the Art Commission. Because once we start bringing all the people in, we want to beautify our city and be known for something. Right now, we don't have our thing yet, but on the Arts Commission, we are working on that so that we can promote that a little bit more. So having a designated amount, a budget for the Arts Commission, I think would be a great thing. And also on public transportation with the Hill Country transit system. They have not asked the cities for money, but soon they're going to. So it's something that I believe that we should look at so that our citizens that rely on public transportation, that we have that in there so they can be able to go to work or to the hospital, go grocery shopping, whatever it is that they need. And I really like that idea that Tony came up about the LEOs. That's very interesting. I'm not sure if we can do that, or, but I thought that was, yeah. I think that would be worth looking at.
All right, Sam.
Well, as like Tony said, you know, we are a business people, and Harker Heights, it's a pass-through place, you know. It's not a destination for anything. So for us, I mean, to help our economy, we need to create more activity. And we have to just give the Chamber of Commerce has to do a little bit more of work. You know, I know they do have like the three events every year, and those three events is what I think is they all outdoor events that if it's depend on the weather. So if weather is bad, those like one time we had bad weather. I mean, we lost a lot of money. I was on the board. We lost a lot of money. So I think, I know we're helping the chamber with $50,000. It's not a lot. But I think, you know, the chamber has to come up with some activities in this town to be a destination sometime. You know, beside the point that just passed through, we are in the middle of between these cities and the end of it is like Fort Hood, and people, they come through, they can stop by, either eat, drink, or whatever they want to do, but they're not staying here for any like special event that we have to create here. So this is one of the things, this is put more impact on the small businesses to create their own activity to get their business better. So one other thing, I agree with Michael about the fire station 3, I mean, that we should put it on the work. Maybe not right away, but at least when we could find the budget for it, you know, it's something that we need to think about. One last thing, I know it's very touchy too, that everybody's like it's touchy about our veterans, which is, you know, our veterans, it's deserve every penny they get as far as disability and everything else. But that money that we're not getting, it's going off our budget too for all the citizens of Harker Heights. I would encourage, especially, you know, having a veteran on our council, to have like some kind of organization, you know, to fight with us to get our money back too. Because this is would help all the citizens, not just that. It is mandated, and we respect that, and it's 100% deserved, you know, for our veterans. But at the same time, like, we are happy with it, to accept it and to live with it. They have to do something about it, too, for us to compromise something on our budget. So that's it. That's all I have.
Okay, I had just a couple items to do. One thing I think we need to focus on, we're getting more and more comments from our citizens, is code enforcement, is to add at least one more code enforcement officer and whatever the means are that they need to be able to do their job. Again, as our city continues to grow, we have more and more issues that are out there. Even though that we would hope that people want to be good neighbors, we find that that's not necessarily the case. So that's priority one for me as far as code enforcement. Again, Arts Commission, I think that's something that's new with us. I think that the focus where we are right now, since it's in its infancy, is that we need to look at the development of that. So again, instead of getting out here, we've got to learn how to crawl before we walk. And again, before we start giving them any money, have an idea of what we are, who we are, and to be able to identify, again, as y'all are talking about, as Harker Heights being a place, and that way we can form that as far as not only the city's Arts Commission, and as well as working with the chamber and what they do. And the last thing that I had as far as just naming three of them is water security. As far as naming, you know, just looking at methods for conservation, but all the things that have coming up that we have, that y'all have been briefed on going forward, that we know that the rates, you know, that we're gonna be seeing coming out of BRA and everything else to prepare our citizens that water is not gonna get any cheaper in the out years as those contracts, you know, come to an end, and then we have to have new ones going forward. A lot of things that are out there that we can do to support programs at the state and national level for our water provider, distributor for Bell County Water Control Improvement District number one. And again, we already work very, very close with them and with our public works. But again, water security from not only from the Harker Heights Public Works standpoint, and that also includes as far as treatment of water going forward. Because we all know is if you don't have water, you don't have a city. And then all the other things about roads, and those are all important as well. Okay, all the things we do, but we have so many assets that are limited of what we're able to do. Okay, so a lot of these things is good. That's why we got some hard decisions to be able to make. A lot of the things that are out of our hands that we're trying to work with at the state level. I will tell you that we have continued to talk one-on-one with representative from Senator Cruz, from Senator Cornyn, from Representative Williams, Representative Carter, Representative Pfluger. I've talked to most of those personally, or their district representatives, to have the feds to weigh in on this thing, okay? And again, just like the meetings that I have with Lieutenant General White, city provided a white paper for him on the challenges that we have, just to make him aware of it, okay? Because it's not just disabled veterans, so many active duty soldiers and their families live in Harker Heights, so that when these guys go down range and put their head in the mouth of the cat, we're taking care of their doggone families, you know, through our Parks and Rec, through our cops, for our fire department, EMT. So it does impact the active duty soldiers. And also, just had a conversation with Keith Sled from HOTDA yesterday. That's one of the things that they'll look at the national level, okay? When they start coming, looking at the quality of life types issues, if we go to another base realignment and closure thing, that's one of the factors they look at, okay? And if we can't answer in the mail, they'll send those soldiers somewhere else, okay? So that's why it's important that we've got a lot of things going out there and fighting the fight in Austin, but also making people in Washington, D.C. And that's why I encourage anybody, you know, that anybody you know that's an influencer, you let them know what our concerns are, okay? But we only have one priority, is getting that monkey off our back, okay? It's getting that disabled veterans property tax exemption, getting it altered, or getting it where the whole state of Texas pays their fair share, and it isn't just lumped into cities like Heights or Nolanville or Schertz or all, what's there, 26 of them that are adversely impacted. Okay, they're all over the state of Texas. So we'll go at that in a different angle. We'll probably be going down to Austin again to give testimony like we've done in past legislatures to stress the point. So again, looking at water security again, but also a lot of that just educating our citizens on how to conserve water, but also educating on how this thing's gonna work looking in the out years, because all these things, it's like Michael said, all this stuff costs money, okay? And the thing is, ultimately, the citizens are going to pay for that, okay? If they want those services, and we want to give them the services that they deserve and expect, but just like businesses that are out there, the cost of doing business for the city is going up just the same, okay? Just a lot of things that the business of the city is being challenged because of all the inflation and other regulations that have been placed on us to try to get our job done the best that we can. But the bottom line, when I talk to citizens out there, you know, our bottom line is, the mission is, we're going to take care of our citizens, okay? But again, some of the things that they may want, they may not get it as quick as they want, okay? That's a challenge we have right now as far as personnel. Yeah, it's good if we were full up around and we had 100% of our table of organization, but we don't. And again, there's some other issues out there about how we can get people on board just to come do these jobs that pay a good wage. So again, a lot of different things there. But again, code enforcement is my number one. Again, water security is really my number two, and then Arts Commission as far as developing that concept since it's new. But again, get a better idea of that way. It's a way we can identify ourselves as Harker Heights, is have a niche on how we're different than everybody else, okay? That people can look to that. So that's what I've got. And city manager, do you want to weigh in?
Mayor, I don't have anything. Again, this is this time is set aside for the council to, again, have kind of a brainstorming session, as well as just, you know, put forward the items that are near and dear to your heart. And so we certainly don't want to constrain that by staff adding that in there. We just want to simply, at this point, hear from you what your priorities are, and that my directors are in the room. It's our job to take what we hear and start incorporating that into our line item budgets to start walking that on down the road. Obviously, as the mayor mentioned, we probably won't make a lot of these big jumps in 1 year, but we have to incrementally do them, add a little bit each year until we kind of walk it out. And so with that, Mayor, I just kind of, for the council, any other discussion that the council may have on it, we're glad to take notes today.
Okay. And Jerry, did you have anything else?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay, good. And again, we've put all these out there. So council, anything else that y'all want to make any comments on those items that have been put out there? No, nobody else? Well, it's good. I think we got a good working list to start with. Again, this is going to be a dynamic process, okay? So this will evolve over time. And again, as the city manager gets with his directors, as they start banging this thing out to make some hard decisions, we'll be looking in August to do our budget retreat. But again, as this goes forward, as if you have other ideas, you know, the city manager that we can continue to talk to these things as we go forward, okay? Right. So are we good with that one? Okay. Anybody have anything else they want to say? Okay, go ahead.
See you at the farmer's market this Saturday.
Yeah, okay. That's good. Good. Okay, well, we move on under discussion items under paragraph 3. We'll go to number 2. And we'll receive and discuss a presentation regarding annual cybersecurity training from the IT director.
Lunchtime. What did your mom pack you? Linda. I didn't want to say. say this out loud because I feel like I really want to get into an EDC thing one day. A huge conversation about it. But
yes.
I printed out.
Please.
It's looking to share, but look at the programs that EDC offers, and it has a lot to do with what you just said. Facade improvement, existing businesses, lots of stuff, and they have a similar population to us.
My God, I got
it.
Is this Halloween? Did I just? Did we just get a?
Tony, you like beef jerky?
Oh, here comes the trading. Here comes the trading.
Okay, so this is y'all's annual cybersecurity training.
Here we go.
So to start out with, I just wanted to remind everybody of SB 944, which means that anything that you say can be considered open records. So make sure that if you're conducting official city business, you do it through official city business means, such as your email accounts, not through text messages. It's okay to send administrative text messages like, hey, is there a meeting at 3? But let's not talk about stuff like building projects and asking questions through text messages. It's awful hard to keep track of all that. If you do end up asking a question that could be considered a government that needs to be retained, make sure that you get that text message, the entirety of the text message to Julie. If you need help with it, come CIT. We can download your text messages and make them part of where it's easier for us to fulfill open records requests. Open the Meetings Act and email, just a reminder, don't hit the reply all button when you're replying to emails, like for here's the agenda, don't hit the reply all button because you could end up creating what's called a walking quorum or inadvertently creating a quorum if people start talking about through email information. So also if you're sending an email out, this is for city staff too, when you're sending it out to all council members, make sure that either we put it in the BCC, that way when they reply it doesn't go out to everybody, but if you do put it in, just make sure that when you're replying you don't reply all. Sir,
on that do not reply all, this is a good one here for we get letters from citizens from time to time, and a lot of times they'll address all of the council and the mayor too included. So that's just like, don't hit reply all, because then you get the walking quorum right there.
Yes, sir.
It's instant walking quorum when you hit reply all. So just hit reply or forward it to the city manager, and then, you know, you could respond to the citizen, but just hit reply to them and say, hey, I'm working on it, or, you know, so that way you don't get into trouble.
Yes, sir, definitely. So this is our annual cybersecurity training. This is the same video we watched last year. It's made by TML. It's super exciting. Oops.
And here's a quiz.
Oh, and good. Let's just go there.
We're just skipping to the quiz.
That's how I got into college.
So I kind of
technology.
Gave it away a little bit. So there is a quiz, apparently.
We need to do.
Texas, in doors are notorious for being propped open, so double check those. Individual workstations should have privacy screens. My monitors can be locked with passwords whenever left unattended. Also, ports and cables should be inspected regularly for sniffers, keyloggers, and other harmful devices that monitor data to the computer. But don't forget about that computer in your pocket. Your phone is connected to your organization, especially if you're using Wi-Fi. So, lock it down. MFA, or multi-factor authentication. It means using two or more factors before unlocking your device. That includes passcodes, fingerprints, and facial recognition whenever possible. So enable apps that can wipe your phone remotely before you lose it. Remember when life was easier? Networking hardware should always be kept in locked areas, as well as any electronic control systems that handle traffic lights, water, and other valuable services. Let's talk about passwords. Turns out we've created password rules that are hard to remember but easy to hack. For instance, the word troubadour and three. Uncommon, but a non-gibberish word with common substitutions for letters. But when it comes to remembering it, good luck. And this, correct course of battery state, four random but common words, which is harder to hack. 1,000 guesses a second. The first one would take 3 days to hack, while the next would take 550 years. So correct course of battery state wins. Is it easy to remember? It just did. Here are some password tips. Avoid slow words found in the dictionary or proper nouns. Do not keep passwords written on paper, clear text document. Do not share passwords. Do not use the same password or close variables on multiple systems. Enable MFA or multi-factor authentication on all systems possible. And change passwords quickly if necessary.
Let's now talk about the data limit. This is the quantities, characters, symbols on which operations are performed. You must think of data as a hash. Common data level states employees are not aware of the value of data. On-site and backups are not provided or performed. Or the organization's data is not encrypted to protect the packets. So, here's some tips. Keep your workspace clean. Destroying sensitive data on paper and hardware when no longer needed. Keep your electronic spaces clean as well. Deleting old files and not leaving copies of sensitive material in different locations. Follow guidance on passwords for the data limit. Install all parental updates whenever they are released. Only connect to secure Wi-Fi and never free public Wi-Fi. Encrypt all of your data on all external products. Make sure all your devices are on. Only allow vetted third parties access to the data if only specifically they need to do their job.
But what about the computer graveyard? Each device holds data regardless of whether the computer is still in use. Here's some tips. Completely erase old hard drives. Before sending computers on, old hard drives and non-writable media should be removed and destroyed. Personal devices and writable media should be reformatted per the manufacturer's instructions. SIM cards should be removed and destroyed. Paper data should be shredded or disposed of in protected receptacles to be destroyed by reputable companies.
Now let's talk about the network build. Remember, no computer is an island. You're never on your own. Even if you're the grumpy guy who only works by himself in that lonely broom closet. Here are some common network level mistakes. Antivirus software or firewalls are not affected. Daily full system scans are not performed. Offsite backups are not maintained. And a lack of administrative controls on networks. While most of these items may be handled by an IT professional, all users need to understand the basic elements. Only strict authorized users should be able to control or change networks. Individual users should have strict roles and permissions set up. Strict standards should be applied to secure
organization's data has three aspects to consider. Confidentiality, it should be accessed only by authorized users. Integrity, it should be accurate. And availability, can we get to it when we need to? A cyber criminal would like to mess up all three aspects. Common threats include theft of data, confidential, proprietary, and sensitive information, the modification of data, and the compromise of how that data is collected, processed, and stored, or the unauthorized access to data, like allowing a bad actor to gain access and block everyone else out.
What is a threat actor, and why would anyone want to commit cyber crimes? Oh, there are lots of reasons.
Man, I want to make some money. I hate my ex-girlfriend. She works here. I'm looking for some dirt. I'm gonna trade this information on the dark web.
I'll see if we can do it. And to watch the world burn.
The idea of a hacker sitting in a dark room running code and cracking firewalls is still valid, but threats can come from much more seemingly harmless sources.
So what is meant by risk? Risks are choices made by an organization, its technology, and people. Technology risks include the hardware and software choices, system engineering, and choices related to the Internet of Things. People risks are employees. What's the morale? Do they care? Have they been trained? And then outside vendors, how are they interacting with the pillars of your organization? Some risk is needed. Our offices are highly connected to the Internet. In some aspects, we can't do our job without it. Simply turning on the Internet is risky, but we need it, so we accept those risks. The challenge is knowing it exists and how to handle it. So, what is a cyber attack? Any attempt to gain access or control of an organization's data or information systems, no matter what the level of sophistication. Attacks can come from many places. Emails, phone calls, texts, USB drives, and flash drives, the Internet of Things, and even clever phishing. When someone tries to gain your information, typically usernames and passwords, to your banks, spear phishing, a targeted phishing campaign to a specific person as opposed to a large blast. Social engineering, non-technical contact looking for the same info as phishing. It might be done with a casual, often pleasant phone call. Whaling, phishing attempt to high-level executives. Malware, software intended to damage your devices and networks. Ransomware, malware that locks users out of their devices until some ransom is paid. In 2018, ransomware cost organizations $11.5 billion. And phishing, voice phishing, is phishing done on the phone, often through voicemail. Here is a common attack.
What about this? I got a pop-up saying I need to update my flash player. What should I do?
You should only download things from trusted sources because it will be malware. If malware covers things like viruses, trojans, worms, backdoors, spyware, and more. Mal means bad things, so you need to be very skeptical.
Got it. Thank you.
What about this one? It says my credit card is maxed out. I need to log in and verify.
Let's talk about ways to identify phishing emails. The message contains a mismatched URL. The URL contains a misleading domain name. The message contains poor spelling and or grammar. The message asks for personal information. The offer seems too good to be true. You didn't initiate the action. You're asked to send or provide money or payment. The message includes unrealistic threats. Something just doesn't look right. The email includes an embedded link or attachment which you are asked or tempted to open.
quiz. Everybody paid a lot of attention, right?
I feel complete.
Huh?
I feel complete.
So, true or false, there's a danger related to click. There is no danger related to clicking on internet links or attachments that come to your email box since the organization's firewall and virus scans have approved it. Very good. False. Don't click on anything. Best policy, just delete all emails. True or false, if you click on an unknown link or attachment in an email and then wonder what you just clicked on, you should wait at least 5 minutes to make sure nothing happens and then there's no need to contact your IT department.
No,
true or false?
Blow your phone up.
Exactly, false. Best advice, don't click on anything. What does MFA stand for? Oh, look at the finance director.
Finance.
Very good. Who is responsible for information and data security?
You.
Everyone.
I'm just kidding. There has to be one in here.
The address an email comes from cannot be faked.
False.
Most addresses are fake, so just delete them. So real quick, we kind of went over what a phishing, they showed you what to look for a phishing attack, but unless you've actually seen some of these emails, it's kind of hard to see what they're actually talking about. So this one is from the National Security Department because that's an official federal government agency. And you can see that they want to do a FaceTime verification with you. That's something that
scary.
You could probably just forward to your IT department and then delete it. Here's the PayPal response. If you look up, and it's hard to make out, but if you look up in the from address, you can tell that it's not actually from PayPal. So probably just go ahead and delete that one. Unusual sign-in activity. I can tell you that for the city of Harker Heights, if we notice that you have unusual sign-in activity, we will just block your account and then call you. So. You won't get an email from us. You will just not be able to access anything. And then you'll get a phone call asking if you're in Tahiti. Here's one from the mayor, as you can see. But if you notice that it's from a place called Office Online, this was actually sent to an individual that works for the city. We actually get surprisingly a lot of emails from the mayor. And he's always in a meeting, and he can't accept any calls.
I'm still waiting on my gift card.
Yeah, I know. So, this specific one, they wanted the individual to buy 4 Green Dot cards of $1,000 a piece and then send him the code so that he could pass it out at some charity organization.
Sounds very legitimate.
Yeah, very legitimate, yes. And he was in a meeting. We get a lot of these where it's a purchase order because they know cities have lots of purchase orders. And then if you click on that link, it'll ask you to log into your Office 365 account. And then at that point in time, it's an automated process. So then it downloads everybody in your contact list and resends this email out again and again and again. And so that's how it actually spreads. But the scary part about this is that once they have your login credentials, they can go back in and read your emails, see what was sent, all that kind of stuff. And then for a lot of city staff members, that also extends to once they have their login information, it is connected to their SharePoints and their OneDrives, and any information in there could be compromised too. So if you see something like this, forward it to us. We'll open it up in a white box for you and see if it's actually legitimate or not. So smishing, which is SMS phishing. A lot of people get text messages like these. They blast them out. They'll provide 1-800 numbers for you to call about your card, that kind of stuff. Basically, if it's not from your bank and you don't recognize the number, just don't respond to the text message. Call your bank or whoever by a known good number. Here's one from the Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS, because they're filing lawsuits. Here's
they
one
totally
from
totally text you.
That's right. The CID for the IRS will totally send you a text message. Amazon, and this one is another Amazon one. So this is a vishing one, and I'm not sure if the voice, but this actually came to me like 2 weeks ago. Anyways, so basically I'm on the run from the IRS right now because it's in the federal claim courthouse. So they cut, he comes all the time. I pulled that off of my city's phone. It came to my office phone. So the point of all this is that if you have any questions about anything you receive, you can forward it to us in IT. We'll take a look at it for you. It's a lot easier for us to spend 5 minutes telling you that an email is not legitimate than the 3 or 4 hours that it will take us trying to resecure your email account. So, any questions from anybody? Any concerns? That's all, Mayor.
Council, do we have any other comments before we close the meeting on anything that we discussed with the budget priorities today? Anything else from the council?